This research was done in conjunction with the UIC School of Public Health and the Illinois Public Health Institute, and I'll discuss a little bit more about what the Illinois Public Health Institute is, and I'd also just like to give credit to my colleague, Christine Greco, who also helped organize this forum that I'm going to be talking about and the research. The elimination of health disparities is a major goal in Healthy People 2010, and as you all know, has garnered a lot of attention. Health disparities are the differences in incidence, prevalence, mortality, and burden of diseases and other adverse health conditions that exist among specific population groups in the United States. Health disparities exist for a plethora of different diseases, as you know, and conditions, including diabetes, hypertension, asthma, infant mortality rates. I could go on and on and on. Health care disparities are defined as the unexpected differences in the quality of care that are not due to access-related factors or clinical needs, preferences, and appropriateness of intervention. Research suggests that socioeconomic status, racial and ethnic differences in access to health care and other resources, the effects of racism and segregation, and living and occupational conditions are likely sources of disparities within geographic areas. In the words of Paul Farmer, disease tracks along lines of inequality. Thus, health disparities are the manifestations of a history of social and political inequality in the United States. In 2002, an influential IOM study report established evidence that people of color often receive a lower quality of care than their white counterparts when insurance and socioeconomic status, comorbidities, stage of presentation, and other factors are taken into account. Cultural and linguistic competency is now being seen as a key strategy being used towards achieving one of the two main goals of Healthy People 2010, the elimination of health disparities. More importantly, health disparities reveal cracks in the way the healthcare system treats racial and ethnic minorities. To create a better healthcare system, we must understand and account for health disparities in improving healthcare in the United States. A major gap relating to care exists based on race and ethnicity. Racial and ethnic health disparities in health and healthcare are real, and there's an urgency that we all know exists in addressing that. Major questions revolve around the ways in which to increase the skills and knowledge of healthcare practitioners in eliminating health disparities. Approaches such as mandates and practice requirements require a great deal of oversight on the very personal interaction between a patient and the provider. These approaches are much more difficult to regulate because of the personal nature of the patient-provider relationship. Instead of applying these kinds of approaches to health and human service professionals in Illinois, IPHI, the Illinois Public Health Institute, held a forum to provide opportunities for discussion and training around health disparities. This presentation is going to highlight the findings from this particular forum and indicates the importance of these kinds of events to putting the healthcare profession on the road to eliminating health disparities. Cultural competence is defined as the ability of healthcare providers to understand and respond to the cultural and linguistic needs of their patients. Practitioners with an awareness of beliefs or practices within a patient's culture have better opportunities to build a trust and a good relationship with their patient. They have improved communication and help patients have successful responses to treatment, which we all know is very important. Improved quality care that is an expected outcome of culturally competent practice increases the patient's trust in not only just their provider, but the healthcare system as a whole. Linguistic competency is the ability for a healthcare provider to use a spoken language and vocabulary which with the patient is comfortable, either through the use of an interpreter or the provider's own abilities. Obviously, this decreases miscommunication and increases the patient-provider trust. So why is this important? It's pretty obvious. Communication is the cornerstone of quality healthcare. The American Medical Association reports that a breakdown in communication is by far the most common cause of errors that harm patients. With better health care through cultural and linguistic competency from the provider side, patients are more likely to adhere to treatment, recover more quickly, and therefore reduce health disparities. So last year, I can't believe it's already almost a year ago, the Illinois Public Health Institute held an awareness education training forum. It was a one-day forum, and we had over 200 healthcare professionals attend. Education training forums are one way of addressing the needs of in the provider population, to treat, especially around this issue. Just to give you a little background on the Illinois Public Health Institute, IPHI works through partnerships in the state of Illinois to promote prevention and improve public health systems that maximize health or quality life for the people of Illinois. And part of the Illinois Public Health Institute is that they have a racial and ethnic health disparities council called REDAC. And what REDAC is it's a forum of a bunch of different members that's created by IPHI for minority health stakeholders to explore public health system approaches to eliminating racial and ethnic health disparities in the state of Illinois. REDAC consists of 30 different stakeholders from public and private organizations throughout the state. And just generally, the council works to identify best practices, disseminate current data, highlight limitations of the public health system that hinder progress, develop recommendations to improve health of minorities. They advocate for and lobby for different bills in the state that are about REDAC recommendations. And overall, the REDAC held a one-day forum about this cultural and linguistic competency to bring together all of these partners in the state of Illinois to talk about this issue. The forum goal was to increase the cultural and linguistic competency of healthcare providers, managers, and administrators through the use of expert speakers and skill-building sessions throughout the day. So this forum really brought together not only healthcare providers from that work directly with patients, but also hospital managers, administrators, and people from that level. So it was bringing together the whole group. So what we did was collect data. Obviously, you get 200 people together and you think, let's get some information about this. We collected 92 pre-evaluation surveys and 87 post-evaluation surveys. And the data that we collected was to assess the perceived barriers, feelings, and learning objectives for the forum. And also, we wanted to get information on what healthcare providers felt they needed to overcome those barriers. So it wasn't just a tell us everything that causes problems. It was what's going to help you overcome those problems. And we wanted to move forward with that so that we could actually create some progressive movement and not just have kind of a massive complaining session. A lot of the data that we collected was qualitative data gathered from survey evaluations, and so we analyzed it using grounded theoretical techniques of analysis to reflect themes that emerged and categories that emerged from all of the various responses. We decided to use this technique as opposed to forcing participants into pre-constructed categories created by researchers, because we wanted people to be able to give us all of the different ideas that they had instead of sort of having five different things that they could choose from. So this is just a little background on sort of the demographics of the population that we were working with, or as far as who filled out the evaluations. The largest percentage of participants self-described their race as white, with the second largest percentage of participants self-describing themselves as Black, African American. All other racial categories, including those who did not identify a race, were 11%. 14% of forum participants self-described their ethnicity as Hispanic or Latino, while 50% categorized themselves as non-Hispanic or Latino. And this diagram basically compares the racial and ethnicity makeup of participants to the state of Illinois. So it's somewhat similar. We also asked respondents what topics of trainings they had previously attended, because we wanted to get an idea of what they had done prior to coming to this forum. And 47 out of 92 respondents, or 51%, reported having attended previous trainings, which shows that there is actually a forum out there for people to attend things along these lines. The majority of those past trainings were centered around the importance of cultural competency in the healthcare setting. 46% of respondents also reported to have programs or policies to assure cultural and linguistic competency in their current healthcare setting workplace, which I thought was fascinating. So almost half of respondents reported having some programs or policies in place already. And this, actually, there's a typo on the slide. The 6% is supposed to be 63, so apologies. A majority of the respondents that we had in the survey have been working in healthcare or social services for over 10 years. So in general, the people that were at this were seasoned, experienced human service professionals. So the barriers, the pre-evaluation survey asked forum respondents to list common barriers that were frequently experienced in trying to improve or implement cultural and linguistic competency in their public health or healthcare setting. There were five major categories that surfaced that were coded by researchers based on the responses from participants. The first barrier was awareness issues, and this was defined as a lack of understanding regarding the importance of cultural competency to healthcare outcomes, increasing patient base, reducing risk of malpractice, and effect on patient health behavior outcomes. The second main barrier was resource constraint issues, which in public health we are all very familiar with. But this came about as staff were unable to make time to invest their resources into the issue of cultural and linguistic competency, and that resources were further defined just in a simple format of time and money. It just is too difficult in healthcare to be able to spend time to really understand somebody's culture. The third barrier was linguistic access issues. So basically this was a lack of existing services to make sure that patient needs are met or that language access is a unique need. Barrier four was workforce issues, which was that the healthcare workforce having recruitment and retention barriers for a diversified workforce that would help it become culturally and linguistically competent, so that there was a lack of diversity within healthcare providers, so they were unable to provide culturally competent care. And five was educational and training issues, which was that there were no formal education lines either through medical education, continuing education credits, or other kinds of educational lines that provide cultural and linguistic competency training. So that pointed out that basically people were saying, in all my years of education, I never had somebody teach me how to deal with this. So after we heard all these barriers, we asked them what kind, forum participants were asked on the pre-evaluation to list information, tools, resources, kind of just to tell us anything that they thought would help them overcome all of those barriers referenced in the preceding question. Again, we coded responses from participants, and these are some of the immediate things that they talked about, but we coded them into four general categories. And those four general categories referenced were educational and training skills, financial resources, increased policies, and collaborative opportunities. So educational training skills was a resource category that included having continuing education requirements, medical school, nursing school, curriculum alterations, so that this was a mandated part of the medical school curriculum or nursing school curriculum, professional trainings like the forum that we had, and other organized events that were centered around raising awareness, teaching people about the issue and how they can effectively manage it in their work environment. Most of the replies around this theme consisted of kind of short printed responses like addition of cultural training into medical school curriculum, additional seminars. So the second major theme was financial resources. Shocking. This resource category included grant funding for programs at healthcare organizations and grants for increased research dollars regarding the topic of cultural and linguistic competency. So respondents spoke about increases in funding for, you know, largely grant programs related to this and an increase in research dollars for continued research around the issue. One respondent commented, more research and publication of research, particularly in medical journals. That was interesting. So what they're saying is a physician was saying, I need to be able to read more about this in the journals that I'm constantly keeping up with. The third major category was increased policies. So this resource category included licensing requirements, federal, state, and local policies to encourage healthcare organizations to be more aware and meet patient needs, and increased internal hospital and health organization policies to administer culturally and linguistically appropriate services to their patient populations. And this was, I like to point this out because this wasn't just administration saying we need increased policies. This was actually the healthcare workforce saying we want increased policies so that it is part of our organization that mandates we're doing this. Policy-level approaches were largely referred to in their responses, such as federal legislation or government requirements, comments on increased licensure requirements were also given. One participant wrote, there needs to be inclusion of questions based on culturally relevant information that can be tested on licensing exams. Regulations must also exist that require cultural competency CME for licensing. So there was a want to have that be part of the integrated education for our healthcare workforce. And then finally, the last category was collaborative opportunities. And these responses included building awareness and consensus on strategies for addressing the issue and creating coalition or partnership work on the issue to bring greater expertise to organizations. And this came out of a lot of places saying, we might not have somebody on staff who's an expert in this, but we would love to work with somebody else who could provide that for us. And having increased communications and interactions of organizations. So all of the barriers presented by respondents necessitated a multi-level approach to address the needed tools and resources referenced. The example that I use is the barrier of educational training. And the multi-level resources were needed directly in the classroom between the teacher and the student, directly in larger curriculum development, and then also needing policies within the educational institution and a commitment within that institution to change. And finally, policy requirements for certification and resource allocation. So what this really pointed was that to deal with the issue of cultural and linguistic competency, we need to use an ecological theoretical perspective of health interventions, where we really are looking not just at the individual patient-provider relationship, but the whole big picture of how we can at every level address this issue. So at the macro level, resources and tools can be implemented, and I've broken it up into three different levels, the macro, the meso, and the micro level. So at the macro level, which involves system structure, we need to provide more opportunities for training education through CME programs, increase the number of minority healthcare providers through scholarships and grant programs, and reimburse or reward providers for cultural competency excellence. This was something that a lot of people pointed out at the forum, that they wanted to be sort of recognized for best practices in this field, and there weren't a lot of people out there saying, look at this great hospital and what they're doing. The meso level is the organizational level. And this came out through the need for commitment from the top through administration funds and policies. So what this came out was, we don't want the administration to just say, yes, it's important. We want them to actually follow that statement up with some money or some redirection within the staff of how that would be organized. Annual assessments of cultural competency needs. A lot of healthcare workers felt like there was no assessment. They might know based on just what they're doing every day, but there was no formal assessment within their work environment about the needs in their community. And that can shift a lot. For example, in Chicago, neighborhoods are constantly shifting, and the ethnic population that you may have treated 10 years ago is no longer. So people wanted assessments about what the needs were in their communities. Actively recruiting physicians that reflect the patient base. So again, that was diversifying the provider group. Plan and implement ongoing cultural, gender, and educational appropriate diversity training, establish and update translation services, and engage the community through effective outreach and educational strategies. Here we go. At the micro level, which is the individual interactions, which I think sometimes is the most common understanding for this issue, one needs to understand the social and cultural environment of the patient. We know the barriers involved in this, but getting the healthcare providers to actually engage in this is very important. recognizing the growing body of research showing differences in therapeutic responses to treatments, so that the healthcare provider really understands the importance of the health outcome of their patient based on having cultural and linguistic competency. Health behaviors are a result of a patient's lifestyle and environment, so understand their risk behaviors. And finally, use the information about your patients to promote preventive health. So in conclusion, cultural competency and linguistic access are obviously multi-level issues, and they must be addressed outside of just simply the patient-provider perspective. So this data clearly exemplified how people wanted all the different levels addressed. Looking at the big picture through an ecological systems approach will address the issue on various levels, therefore more greatly affecting the influence on health disparity outcomes. The importance of understanding and talking to providers about the barriers, but the need to focus on creating systematic approach to addressing those barriers was something that really came out. People are sick of talking about the barriers. They want to know how this is going to change. And so that was very important that we asked people what resources they needed to address the issue because they wanted to move forward. And forum and skill building workshops are important towards fostering awareness and sharing knowledge about creating an impetus for change. Based on the skill-building approach to changing healthcare provider behaviors through training, our research seemed to indicate that the efficacy of training can improve the practices of healthcare professionals with the goal of ultimately contributing to the elimination of health disparities. That's it. Thank you very much. Yeah, there's been actually a lot of work afterwards. I think that they, and I'm no longer at IPHI, so I'm a little disconnected from exactly what's going on, but they were going to have another follow-up forum, I think about 6 months afterwards, to try to bring in kind of the next step to what happened at the last forum. There were also four bills that were introduced in the State House and Senate regarding this issue to try to increase funding and create mandates for linguistic competency in the healthcare setting. I'm not sure if those got passed or not. I know that there was, you know, obviously all the back and forth of rewriting, but there were policy, based on this forum, there were policy level outcomes that happened. So that was very effective. In